Hey everybody, this is Shaman Sister Sindel, and you are listening to the Meditations and More podcast with me, the Little Shaman. Today I want to talk about toxic relationships, and one toxic relationship in particular. There is no more toxic relationship than the relationship with a narcissist. Relationships with narcissists are often characterized by every kind of abuse you can think of: physical, verbal, mental, emotional, financial, exploitation, gaslighting, manipulation, just a total disregard for the other person by the narcissist. Narcissists are selfish, emotionally and morally bankrupt individuals who can't really feel empathy for other people in any real type of way. So I know that word is used so often that the meaning is starting to become a little bit watered down, but if any of you remember the shooter, Elliot Rodger, and his manifesto, okay, that is the perfect example of what a narcissist is. Now, narcissists often are attracted to empaths, and that is the relationship that I want to discuss today, empaths and narcissists. Now, followers of my blog and this podcast know that empaths are people who are very tuned into the emotions of other people, even to the point of feeling those emotions themselves. You know, if you are an empath and you want to pay close attention, see if maybe you can weed out some of the narcissists in your life. Because if you're an empath, chances are there's a narcissist around you somewhere. Of course, a person doesn't have to be an empath to have encountered a narcissist, unfortunately, but empaths and narcissists are often intertwined together, and it's for a disproportionate amount of time, comparatively speaking, so it seems like such an unlikely pairing that it deserves a little bit more investigation. And I want to note that throughout this podcast, I'm going to be referring to the narcissist and the empath as he and she, respectively, here. But this is just done for the ease of understanding, and it does not imply that either personality can be only one gender. Narcissism and empathic ability aren't gender dependent in any way. Women can be narcissists just as well as men can, and men can be empaths just as well as women can. So let's start by looking at who the players are in this little drama. First, we have the empath, and as we said, empaths are people who are really, really tuned into the emotions of other people. They're sensitive, they're kind, nurturing, you know, to a fault. I mean, they place the needs of other people before their own needs, which is a huge reason why they are so attractive to narcissists. A narcissist will hone in on that like a beacon. And the narcissist, as we said, selfish, morally bankrupt, unable to feel empathy. Narcissists don't consider other people's feelings at all. They don't even really realize that other people have feelings in the same way that they themselves do. And it gets worse and worse and worse depending how far down the scale towards antisocial personality disorder that they are. It doesn't really seem to make sense that these two people would even be remotely attracted to each other, let alone form such an unbreakable fatal attraction type of a bond, but it happens, and it happens all the time. The question is, how does it happen? So what's the attraction? At first glance, it's easy to see why the narcissist is attracted to the empath. Empaths are everything that narcissists aren't. Empaths are kind, caring, emotionally aware, supportive, in control, able to have relationships and make friends. So true to his nature, the narcissist covets the things that he doesn't have. You know, he envies them and he wants them. And he will endeavor to take them from anyone who does have them, or at least ruin them so that no one has them. The empath gives freely of herself. This makes her a glowing beacon for the narcissist. It's like waving a red flag in front of a bull. He can sense an emotional source that he can leech off of basically indefinitely, like a battery that never dies. The narcissist can take and take and take, and in return, the empath will give and give and give and give. This is the relationship between the two. That's the core nature of the relationship, and it's never going to change. So we can see why the narcissist, in his infinite emptiness, is attracted to somebody that will give and give and give. But why is the empath attracted to the narcissist? That's a bit more of a difficult question. In the beginning, the vibe the narcissist gives off, because they give off powerful emotional vibes, they all do. And this will resonate very deeply with the empath. It will catch her attention, and she'll be very drawn to him, almost as magnetically as he's drawn to her because of that. His presence, the narcissist's presence, is often very emotionally intense, and most empaths are attracted to that, whether they realize it or not. The narcissist can also be really hard to read emotionally. Like, his vibe is very intense, but it might also be really distorted, like static on a TV where you can't really see the true picture. And since reading other people's emotional states is really easy for the empath to do, she might be drawn to him in spite of herself in an attempt to figure him out. You know, like, who is this guy? What's he about? And after he catches her attention and she catches his, he'll reveal his lifetime of abuse, however real or made up it is, along with a carefully crafted commercial pitch about how wonderful he is, which is also usually not real, and how wonderful she is, even though he just met her. And she'll be effectively snared by this because she doesn't realize at first that the intense emotional vibe that she's getting from him has nothing to do with her. It's all about him. It's all for himself. Now, you might think, and especially if you are an empath who has been lucky enough not to encounter a narcissist, you might think that it would be unlikely that the empath would fall for that, considering how in tune she is with other people's emotions and who they really are. I mean, you might think, like, can't she see what he really is? Well, I mean, the answer is, yeah, she can, actually. Most empaths sense something wrong about the narcissist really quickly, sometimes during the first conversation. But the problem is she can also see something else, and that overrides everything. And that's how wounded and broken the narcissist is inside. Beneath all the lies and abuse, you know, she can see that. And it's not an act on his part. It's not a mistake on the empath's part. The narcissist really is fundamentally wounded and broken. So this is not a scam. And a matter of fact, most narcissists are going to endeavor to try to hide that, but the empath can see it anyway. A large number of narcissists are skilled at appearing helpless and lost, which would be the more inverted type of narcissist that doesn't try to hide it. He amplifies it to the point where he just looks totally helpless. You know, that's not really an act, because in many ways, they really are helpless and lost. The empath's mistake is in thinking that she can help him. That's the attraction. He wants to leech off of her, but she wants to help him. So if you think about it, it really is a totally twisted but perfect relationship. He wants somebody to feed off of, and she needs a parasite. It's like the perfect dysfunctional codependent relationship. That's her fatal blind spot, because unfortunately the narcissist cannot be helped, and more importantly, he doesn't want help. But even when she can see that very clearly, his wounds are clearer. How broken and lost he really is. They're evident in everything he does, even in the horrible things, especially in the horrible things. And this is what makes her stay with him, even though she knows she should leave. So why? Well, a big part of it is that the narcissist is adept at making the empath believe that she's the only one who can help him, or that she already has helped him, and this is what she wants. It feeds her need to help, and nobody is more convincing than the narcissist when he's showering someone with praise or pushing their emotional buttons to get a response. She gives him the emotional sustenance he both wants and needs, allowing him to bask in the light of her care and attention all the time. It's a dangerously, dangerously codependent relationship that revolves around superficially fulfilling the needs of only one person who can be neither satisfied or happy. The narcissist is like a cup with a hole in the bottom. No matter how much you pour into it, it's never going to be enough. He's never going to be full. There's an important distinction to make here, however. We say, quote, superficially fulfilling, end quote, because it's important to remember that the empath's needs are being fulfilled too, even if this doesn't seem to be the case. She is usually the obvious injured party in the relationship, but she's a willing injured party. She has locked herself in a situation where she can perpetually help someone who will always need her. She's made essentially a career out of taking care of a professional victim who does not want to get better. Now, this can seem like victim blaming to some, but it's only by recognizing this very thing that the empath can empower herself to get away from the narcissist for good. She has to understand that she's choosing to stay and she can choose to leave. He only has the power over her that she's giving to him. It is an abusive relationship, but as in all abusive relationships, the choice is ultimately up to her. Lots of narcissists are arrogant overachievers, but most really are crippled by their disorder in a lot of ways. They're unable to function in the world normally in more than just like a very superficial capacity. The empath sees an opportunity to take care of someone in perpetuity. Even if she doesn't want to, the caring nature that is intrinsic to an empath can make her feel like she has to. Because what's he going to do without her? It doesn't seem fair to abandon him, regardless of how horrible he is, because he's sick and the sickness isn't his fault. Now, it's true that the way his brain works is not his fault. Maybe no one loved him enough when he was a child. Maybe he was abused. Maybe none of it really is his fault at all. However, it's not hers either. She does not need to be punished forever because of someone else's mistakes. And if she stays in the relationship with a narcissist, she will be punished forever. This is the empath's nightmare, though. Abandoning those who need her when she could have helped. That's the problem with her logic, though. She can't help him. So what's the conclusion? Well, since it's unrealistic to expect that the narcissist possesses the insight to be able to recognize his problems, it's up to the empath to recognize the situation and resolve it. The first and most important thing she must realize is that the only way to resolve the situation is to get out of it. That can be a very hard truth to face. Nobody wants to believe they've wasted years of their life on somebody who literally does not care or appreciate it at all. But this is the trap that the empath finds herself in, especially when she's dealing with a narcissist who, during his manipulative moments, swears, you know, that that's not true. She needs to make sure she's not fooled. It is the case, and it's never going to change. The narcissist cannot and will not change. He's not capable of the type of emotion, empathy, and compassion necessary to render him a fair, loving, and satisfying partner. And he can never learn how to do that. He can't learn how to be a real person. This ability is learned in the first few years of life. By the time the empath meets the narcissist, it's way too late. He cannot be helped. It's important here, too, to remember that as horrible and awful and abusive as many of them are, the blame does not all belong on the narcissist. The empath has to take responsibility for her own actions and acknowledge the hard and embarrassing truth that her needs were being fulfilled on some level by the relationship, regardless of how painful and horrible it actually was. Because it's the truth, or she never would have stayed. If she cannot acknowledge these things, she's going to continue to seek out relationships with other narcissists, and the pattern will not be broken. The only pattern that will be broken is the pattern with that particular narcissist. The pattern and the problem is not just with one person, because any relationship, even one with a narcissist, is reciprocal. You know, it's a give and take, it's back and forth. The empath stayed in the relationship far past the time when she knew that the relationship was unhealthy, dangerous, abusive, unfair, and she has to take responsibility for that. It's only by acknowledging this that she can truly break the cycle and be free. If you're an empath or anyone who's been unfortunate enough to become entangled with a narcissist, there are a few things you can do, and this is the first of three in a series dealing with narcissistic relationships, how to handle them, and how to get out of them. There will be links to the other podcasts and articles in the information for this particular podcast. Feel free to check them out. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them. I invite you to share your experiences because there are people out there living in these type of relationships who don't realize that there's a way out. They don't realize that they have control and they can escape it if they want to. They might not even realize that they're dealing with a narcissist. So your experience could be very, very helpful. The next installment in this series of podcasts is going to be how to argue with a borderline, a narcissist, or a psychopath. And the conclusion in the series is going to be how to get rid of the narcissist or psychopath in your life. Both of these will teach you coping mechanisms and strategies to deal with people on the narcissistic spectrum. You've been listening to Meditations and More with me, the Little Shaman. May the Great Spirit bless you and have a wonderful day.